This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The bigger picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with me, Juliet Jacobs, and also Dashrun Johan and Hezrul Ashraf. So it is World Pangolin Day tomorrow, a day to celebrate these unique mammals and also raise awareness on their plight. So pangolin numbers are rapidly declining and they are considered one of the world's most heavily trafficked mammals. And experts warn that the illegal trade in pangolins will render them extinct within our lifetime. So we will explore more reasons why the survival of these delightful creatures matter and also learn ways to better protect them.
That's right. And on Twitter, we've got a quiz running to mark World Pangolin Day. We're asking you which of the following statements about the pangolin is false. And your options are A, they are mammals; B, they only eat insects; C, there are 8 species; and D, they have good eyesight. So you can head there and to take the quiz. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio and share your thoughts by WhatsApping 018-789-8899.
That's right. So imagine a cat-sized anteater with a ridiculously long and bright pink tongue and some armor in the form of overlapping scales rough as tree bark. Now imagine a creature which, when attacked, curls up into an orb. Voila, you have a pangolin. So the name pangolin, which is derived from the Malay word pangguling, loosely translates to something that rolls up. So there are a total of 8 species of pangolin on our planet. According to pangolins.org, 4 live in Asia: the Indian pangolin, the Philippine pangolin, the Sunda pangolin, and the Chinese pangolin. And the other 4 live in Africa: the white-bellied tree pangolin, the giant ground pangolin, the ground pangolin, and the black-bellied tree pangolin.
Yes. And according to the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, or IUCN as it's better known, virtually no information is available on population levels of any of these species of pangolin. I guess these species are rarely observed due to their very secretive and solitary and also nocturnal habits, and there has been very little research on their population densities. However, all species are thought to be in decline, with some more rapidly so than others, particularly those Asian species that you mentioned, Dash.
Yeah, and the pangolin is actually the only scaly mammal on Earth. And though many may believe them to be related to anteaters, sloths, and armadillos, Texas A&M University's biology department explains that they're actually thought to be most closely related to true carnivores, or order Carnivora, so wolves, those like wolves and bears. However, their relationships to other animals aren't exactly clear, and they're uniquely adapted to eating ants with their tremendously long tongues that can reach deep into anthills. Oh, and once provoked, the ants come streaming out only to meet with the pangolin's impenetrable protective armor. And pangolins play a very important role in the ecosystem, in our ecosystems, by controlling insect populations, which are also important to actually keeping soils aerated and fertile, and eating up to 70 million ants and termites a year.
Yeah, so some amazing pangolin facts for you to consider. A pangolin's tongue is actually longer than the pangolin itself. When the pangolin's tongue is fully extended, it can be up to 16 inches, which is 40 centimeters. And that is longer than its entire body length. In fact, in most species, their tongues actually start deep in their chest cavity, arising from the last pair of ribs, and are about a quarter inch thick. And these creatures lack teeth. Stomach contents are ground with small pebbles to aid in digestion, and they're kind of like birds gizzard, right? And their lower stomach, which is the pyloric region, are also lined with strange spine-like protrusions that point inward toward the center of the organ. They also close their ears and their nostrils to keep insects out.
Isn't evolution amazing? Yeah. What is this creature? Yeah. And a cute fact here, little baby pangolins, they actually travel around by hitching a ride on their mother's back and tail. That's how they get around. And 20% of a pangolin's weight actually consists of those scales. And these scales are made up of keratin, the same protein that makes up, what's similar to our hair and nails, and also other things like rhino horns, the teeth, quote unquote, of baleen whales, and the claws of bears and other clawed animals. So, the reason we're bringing these up up because these are the things that are highly, hunted for, for so-called medicinal purposes. But actually, it's the same as our hair and our nails. And their scales, the pangolin scales, actually cover the entire body from the head to right up to the tip of the tail, with the exception of their underside. So that part is covered with a few very sparse hairs. So the Chinese and Sunda pangolins are the most endangered of all the 8 species. And in the case of the latter, their numbers began to decline quite rapidly around 1990, and the population has halved over just the last 15 years alone. The IUCN reports that Chinese pangolins have also been greatly reduced over this time period. And despite, all the protection by CITES, poaching seems to be what's causing the decimation of this species. They are the world's most trafficked mammal, with more than 1 million pangolins poached in the past decade alone.
And Juliet, you touched on hunting just now, right? And that really is the biggest threat to all pangolin species today. It's illegal commercial hunting for human consumption. The African species are largely hunted as bushmeat, but there also seems to be some regional use of their scales and other body parts in folk medicines, cultural traditions and rituals in China and Vietnam, for instance, which are the most where demand is mainly high for pangolins. The flesh of both adults and fetuses are considered a delicacy. And some mistakenly believe that they'll be blessed with health benefits, if they eat it. And their scales, blood, and other body parts are also widely used in traditional Chinese medicines or TCMs and so-called health tonics. And there's mounting concern that African pangolins will increasingly be targeted to supply the burgeoning Asian demand for these animals as Asian species continue to plummet toward extinction. And in fact, recent events suggest this may already be happening in two record-breaking seizures in the space of a week in April 2019. For example, Singapore authorities seized a 14.2-ton shipment and a 14-ton shipment of pangolin scales. Get this, from an estimated 72,000 pangolins coming from Nigeria.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Well, despite the fact that scientific studies have proven that keratinous body parts of other animals, for example, rhino horns, are void of any medicinal or curative properties, many continue to consume pangolin scales as a TCM remedy for a wide variety of health problems, such as reducing swelling, promoting blood circulation, and stimulating lactation in breastfeeding women. And more recently, rumors likely spawned by Chinese pangolin farming business ventures have falsely claimed pangolin derived TCMs can even cure cancer.
Oh dear.
Yeah, so a lot of misinformation there. And just speaking about these little pangolins, right, when they're frightened, they will actually curl up into a tight ball to protect its tender underside, right, making it a prime target for these illegal poachers that we're talking about. And while some poachers kill the animal when they catch it, other times they may be kept alive by request from restaurants where they are destined for the dining table. Oof. So back in 2007, an article in The Guardian quotes a Guangdong chef, explaining the disturbing way in which pangolins are prepared for the diners. And this is a little bit graphic here. I'm quoting here the chef. He says, we keep them alive in cages until the customer makes an order. Then we hammer them unconscious, cut their throats and drain the blood. It is a slow death. We then boil them to remove the scales. We cut the meat into small pieces and use it to make a number of dishes, including braised meat and soup. Usually the customers take the blood home with them afterwards.
Oh dear, that's just a horrific account, isn't it?
Can you imagine?
Pangolins, with all of this, with cases like this, pangolins have received global attention, and especially with the news that the COVID-19 pandemic potentially came from pangolins, in a Chinese wet market. Research earlier last year out of China suggested that the novel coronavirus first festered in bats, then jumped onto pangolins, and then ended up infecting humans. And a more recent study counters those findings, however. What isn't so mysterious is the pangolin's tendency to host all sorts of coronaviruses, so meaning they are a possible vector for some future pandemic. And what's important to remember is that pangolins are harmless to people, unless they continue to be traded and consumed.
Yeah, so in a podcast from The World, a daily global news program, Steve Galser, a founder of Freeland, an international watchdog group that fights the trafficking of people and animals, said that anyone who doesn't want to endure more lockdowns and economic ruin has reason to fear the pangolin trade. He asked us all to consider the filthy way in which pangolins are trafficked. Once poachers shake a few dozen out of their hiding spots, which are usually trees, they're piled up in mesh bags and hidden in truck beds. En route to their destination, pangolins are only fed at clandestine pit stops. And that's where, according to Galster, the smuggler will stick a hose in each pangolin's mouth and pump in mealy meal, a slurry of water and cheap starch, just to fill them up, hydrate them and keep them alive.
Horrifying. And, you know, and they're barely alive, right? And when the pangolins actually reach their destination, you know, perhaps a warehouse run by a wildlife broker, obviously they are really sickly and weak. And their immune systems are struggling to fend off microbes picked up along the journey. And the warehouses are usually filled not just with pangolins, but, you know, with many different types of wildlife. And this is according to Thai Vang Nguyen, who is the founder of Save Vietnam's Wildlife, who has conducted, you know, some of these search and rescue operations of pangolins. So he said that it may be squawky, sort of fetid places piled high with all manner of caged animals. So think parrots, turtles, sugar gliders, all of them sort of peeing and breathing on one another. So it's basically an ideal place for pangolins, a fellow mammal, to just soak up all sorts of deadly viruses and pass them on to people.
Right now, but so there is you know, some good news, however, and that is that laws are changing in China in the wake of COVID-19, you know, which could have a significant and positive impact for the conservation of wildlife if laws are enforced and consumer behavior change occurs. And while China's top legislature announced a significant ban on the trade and consumption of wild animals and moved pangolins to the highest level of protection status, it is important to note that pangolins can still be traded for medicine. So, you know, I think further policy changes are needed on that front.
Yeah, definitely. And we're going to, you know, discuss pangolins more, but we've got to go for a quick break. But when we come back, we'll be joined by Elisa Panjang, who is a PhD student and the pangolin conservation officer at the Danau Girang Field Centre over in East Malaysia, who will be speaking to us about her research on pangolins, specifically the Sunda pangolin. So that's going to come up after this quick break. Stay tuned to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Julia Jacobs with Hezrul Ashraf and Dashran Johan. So it's World Pangolin Day tomorrow, an observance that was initiated some 10 years ago and celebrated annually on the third Saturday in February. And basically the aim is to raise awareness on this mammal's importance and also its pretty depressing plight.
That's right. And we also have a quiz running to mark World Pangolin Day on Twitter. We're asking you, you know, which of the following statements about the pangolin is false? Your choices are A, they are mammals, B, they only eat insects, C, there are 8 species, and finally D, they have good eyesight. So you can pop onto Twitter to do that. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio and share your thoughts on WhatsApp by sending a message to 018-789-8899.
Yes, we'll reveal the answer later, though of course we've already said it in our first part. So yes, earlier we did give you a 101 on pangolins based on what we could find. But now let's hear from an expert, Elisa Panjang, who is a pangolin conservation officer at the Danau Girang Field Centre, whose area of expertise is on landscape ecology, and she also conducts behaviour studies of wild pangolins, especially related to degraded and fragmented forests. So her work also uses technology, for example, things like satellite collaring, camera traps, thermal cameras and drones to study the pangolins, and she also conducts post-release monitoring of rescued and confiscated pangolins. So we're going to find out more about her work, of course, and also our very own Sunda pangolin. So thanks so much for joining us all the way from the jungles of Sabah today, Elisa. Maybe we can start with you sharing what, you know, why you got interested in studying pangolins in the first place.
Thank you, Juliet. So I started my interest in pangolins since I was very young. I encountered a pangolin and I was fascinated by the animal. Awesomely weird looks. So its scales covering the whole body, the long snout sniffing something on the ground, and the way it's awkwardly moving. So that actually fascinated me that time. And pangolin is one of my favorite animals since then. I grow up and I love science, especially anything related to animals. I love watching National Geographic about animals. And when I was doing my final year project, I chose pangolin. And after I graduated, I again chose pangolin for my master research and then now for my PhD research.
Alyssa, you also do post-release monitoring of rescued and confiscated pangolins. What is the process of their rehabilitation like? What can you share about this part of your work?
Most of the rehabilitation of pangolins is done by the Sabah Wildlife Department. So usually either they obtain the pangolins from the public or confiscated from the illegal wildlife trade. So these pangolins will be kept in a rescue center temporarily, and the staff, especially the vets, will monitor the health of the pangolins. So before the pangolins is released, we will attach a radio or GPS tracker on the body of pangolins and then release them in the forest. So my team and I, we will monitor the movement of these translocated pangolins and then collect important data to understand more about the biology and ecology as well as their survival.
Right, and based on your own experience and work, can you give us a brief introduction perhaps to pangolins and Sunda pangolins in particular?
A pangolin is also known as a scaly anteater, and tenggiling in Malay language is a mammal order Polydota, and then this order represents one of the unique orders of mammals, morphologically speaking. Pangolin's most notable characteristic is the overlapping epidermal scales made of keratin, like those fish and reptiles, which act as the defense mechanism, like the armor. And then some kids, when I did my talk, said that pangolins look like a dinosaur or big lizard. Yeah, I think it's true, actually. Pangolins are the only mammals that possess such armor. And then if we compare it with armadillo, which has a hard shell that is bony, but they are called carapace, so it's different than the pangolin scales. So because sometimes people say pangolins and armadillo are the same, but they are not the same. And then the pangolin's name is actually derived from the word Malay pangguling, means one that rolls. And then they are closely related to the order Carnivora. Some of the species in this order is like the cats, dogs, and lions. There are 8 extant species, 4 in Africa region and 4 in Asian region. And then the Sunda pangolin is native to Southeast Asia. Pangolins are principally nocturnal, except the black-bellied pangolin, which is found in Africa, and are solitary, except when they are mating and females when they have young. So these pangolins, they communicate through scent and they rely on their sense of smell to find the prey. Pangolins also lack of teeth, but they have long tongue and can be extended, sometimes longer than their body. And then some pangolins are fossorial, burrow dwelling, like they have in Chinese pangolin, and then semi-arboreal, like our pangolin, the Sunda pangolin, and arboreal, like the black-bellied pangolin in Africa. So pangolins are also able to climb and swim. Sunda pangolin, also known in literature as Malayan pangolin and Javan pangolin, is the only species found in our country. Yeah, our species is a bit smaller, typically reaching a weight of 4 to 7 kilos and length up to, 140 centimeters. And the pangolins, they are found in diverse habitats, ranging from forests, monoculture, for example. They also found in palm oil plantation and rubber plantation, urban areas and garden. Actually, there is limited knowledge of Sunda pangolin ecology and behavior. There are so many mysteries around this animal, and I am always excited to study and follow them in the forest.
Okay, and maybe you can also help explain what role pangolins play in the ecosystem.
Right. I am going to explain the role of pangolins in its ecosystem, specifically as predators of social insects, as creators of burrows, as prey species, and host of endo and ectoparasite. So pangolin, the role of pangolins in the ecosystem is as predators of ants and termites. So pangolin predominantly eat ants and termites, and this involves all life stages of their prey, from the eggs, larva, pupa, and adult. So by predating ants and termites, the pangolin act as a control agent for social insects. And this might influence local ant and termite abundance, as well as community structure, thus affecting local ecosystem function. So therefore, pangolins is an important ecosystem service by regulating ant and termite population. And then pangolin also have the role to create burrows. So almost all pangolin species, they excavate burrows for shelter and looking for prey. Burrow is actually very important because they provide shelter with stable temperature, as pangolins are poor at temperature self-regulating. So by their behavior, digging burrows, pangolins might influence soil processes. For example, soil aeration. Yeah, like if they mixture the soil. So it helps like the soil to breathe. Yeah, like something like that. So other wildlife species, for example, the civet and the badger use pangolin burrows, which in turn provide them with shelter and like a thermal refugia. And then also the third one is pangolin is prey and host species. Pangolins actually are food source for large mammals like lion, tiger, and pangolins remains have been found in the stomach of reticulated pythons. So they are food source for other animals. And pangolins also host a range of endoparasites and ectoparasites. So this include many microorganisms. So yeah, that's the role of pangolins in our ecosystem.
Okay, can you now give us an overview of the conservation status of the Sunda pangolin and also the numbers of other pangolins in the wild?
Yes, Sunda pangolin is listed as critically endangered in the IUCN Red List. So IUCN is an international organization that serves as a reference on global conservation status. In Malaysia, Sunda pangolin is listed as totally protected species in Sabah in Peninsula Malaysia and protected species in Sarawak. The number of pangolins in the wild in Malaysia as well as other range states is unknown. Many pangolin researchers, including myself, have experienced challenges in the field data collections due to the species being rare and elusive. However, most of us believe that the pangolin population is declining.
Hmm. And what would you say, are the main threats to the survival of Sunda pangolins then? And also, what are the largest threats to other pangolin populations?
Yeah, all pangolin species are threatened with extinction. However, different country has different factors contributing to these threats. The principal threat is over-exploitation from sustainable hunting and poaching for both local and international use. So I give an example. In Malaysia, local people work with and then collect as well as then trade the pangolins. Pangolins, either alive or dead, frozen or their scales smuggled outside of Malaysia. The scales are listed as important ingredients in the list of Chinese traditional medicine, which is actually widely used in China. Also, wealthy people fancy eating pangolin meats, for example, China and Vietnam. However, in Malaysia, our Malaysian authorities also claim that people in this country also serve pangolin meats in restaurants and private premises, as reported in Sabah and Sarawak. So if this continues, slowly the remaining pangolin population will be gone. Habitat loss is an actually indirect threat where it results in the opening of previously inaccessible area, making the species more susceptible to hunting and poaching. This clearly can be seen in forest area where the surrounding of these areas are dominated with human activities. For example, palm oil plantations, mining and logging concessions, as well as other development. So there is also increased risk in roadkill and also dog attacks. So my study is related to this. I am interested to understand pangolin population response to human-dominated landscape and how habitat fragmentation and degradation affected the ecology and behavior.
Okay, and I do know that pangolins are described as the most trafficked animal in the world. Why is this the case?
I think number one is wildlife traffickers provides incentives along international supply chains. Yeah, because people people need money. So if they have incentives, then they will do it. And then second, smuggling networks are also expanding because illegal wildlife trade is a luxury business. There is also poorly resourced and ineffective law enforcement in Malaysia and range countries. And the last one is there is poor evidence that demand reduction efforts are effective.
Okay, what are some of the ongoing efforts in pangolin conservation, both in Malaysia and globally?
If I recall, when I started my pangolin research about a decade ago, I don't hear much about pangolin news in Malaysia. It is like pangolin is not even exist. Nowadays, pangolins have become an increasingly familiar species around the world, and pangolin now is widely recognized as an icon of the illegal wildlife trade. This shows the important role of pangolin conservation communities across the world, raising awareness of the animals, highlighting the threats they are facing, and the need for urgent conservation actions. So this Saturday, 20th February, marked the 10th World Pangolin Day. It's an annual celebration aimed at raising awareness of the pangolins. I know that there are local organizations doing series of events and activities to celebrate World Pangolin Day. I hope that people whoever listen to this to take their time to join the events and learn about pangolins. In Malaysia, there are ongoing scientific researches conducted by few pangolin researchers. For example, myself and Dr. Chong Julian. Local conservation organizations like my organization, the Nogirang Field Center, is doing advocacy and outreach. I am sure there are many other conservation partners in Malaysia shared the same goals like ours, yeah.
Right then, and Alyssa, you know, what more can and should be done to prevent the population from continuing to decline?
Yeah, I will suggest this four. Number one is to strengthen agencies that are protecting pangolins and their habitat. So meaning government to train enforcement staff and rangers so that they are better to protect the pangolins and the habitats. And support local scientists in pangolin research. So this is very important because it will improve biological knowledge. Yeah. And then the third one is design suitable education initiatives and maybe can be integrated in all Malaysian schools. For example, raise awareness, behavior change program. I think it's important if the children learn from young that wildlife, forest biodiversity is important. And then the last one is, to improve rescue and rehabilitation centers in Malaysia.
Okay, all right. And, you know, I guess for years, the plight of the pangolin has been mostly worrying conservationists, but the COVID-19 pandemic, that actually put pangolins in the spotlight as a possible source for future coronaviruses. What are the supposed links that have been made between pangolins and COVID-19?
So from my understanding, this was started when the scientists discovered multiple lineages of pangolin coronavirus and their similarity to SARS coronavirus 2 that caused the COVID-19. Many researchers believe the SARS coronavirus 2 is originated from bats, but there is no evidence of direct transmission from bats to human. Due to this lack of bat-human transmission, some scientists believe a reservoir is needed. And these scientists attempted to identify the animal. And the Sunda pangolin was suspected of being this intermediate host based on certain criteria. So last year, scientists from China confirmed pangolins as carriers of viruses related to SARS coronavirus 2 and have published their findings. Actually, this is still being debated by scientists across the world. If you read on news, local scientists have tested pangolin samples from Malaysia and they didn't find any virus related to SARS coronavirus 2 in the samples. I think scientists are still doing research to identify the animal host, not only pangolins, but now they expanded to other small mammals like the civets, wildcats. Mm.
Some have said that outbreaks like COVID-19 might help aid the pangolin survival. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, some people, of course, will see pangolins as the culprits. Some will say it is good because nobody will dare to hunt the pangolins. I think what I learned from this, we must consider the way we interact with nature. We cannot just blame the pangolins, bats, and other animals. They are not responsible for the pandemic, which have affected us. Blaming game will result in useless and damaging culling and unnecessary mass slaughter of wildlife. That's my opinion.
And to conclude, Alyssa, you know, what can we do? What can the general public do to help with the preservation of pangolins? And is there any final message you'd like to leave us with?
Yeah, actually, people don't realize that we have the power to save the pangolins. I can suggest from here, first, take time to learn about pangolins. Once you know what pangolin is, understand their plight, you will love them and you will want to protect them. You can visit our Facebook page, the Naugerang Field Center, and get information about events and activities related to pangolin conservations. And second, keep an eye out for suspicious activity involving wildlife and please report to your local wildlife department for further actions. Yeah. And then let's learn to live harmony with nature. I mean, we share this planet with the pangolins and other wildlife, so we must try.
Alyssa, thanks so much for joining us and speaking with us today. That was Alyssa Panjang, a pangolin conservation officer at the Danau Girang Field Center, giving us a quick 101 on pangolins, especially especially on the Sunda pangolin ahead of World Pangolin Day, which is tomorrow.
Yep. So if you'd like to find out more about Alyssa's work at the Danau Girang Field Center, you can head to dgfc.life. That's dgfc.life. And for more on how you can participate for World Pangolin Day, you do head to pangolins.org. Or as Alyssa mentioned, look out for local conservation groups that are working on this area and consider supporting their work too.
Yep. And on Twitter, we've been... We have a quiz running asking you which of these following statements about pangolins is false. So your options are they are mammals, B, they only eat insects, C, there are 8 species, and D, they have a good eyesight. And of course, the false statement is that they have good eyesight. And 50% of you chose that. 18% of you chose they're mammals, 15% they only eat insects, and around 15% saying there are 8 species. So pangolins actually don't have good eyesight, but they have a very good sense of smell. We also have a tweet coming in from Misa saying that a comedian that we should feature comedian Orny Adams on air because his podcast is trending and approximately 1 million people across his platforms now know what pangolins are now thanks to him. So I guess you can check that out on YouTube. You can search for Orny's Fingernails for Sale, and that speaks to what we were touching on the fact that their scales are made out of the same material as our fingernails and that they're being hunted for that.
That's right. It's just keratin, guys. Mm, it doesn't really help in any other way. And hopefully those other 50% who got the answer wrong,
now. Now you know.
Hopefully. But I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today's show. But if you want to share your thoughts, you can always continue to tweet us at BFM Radio or send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. If you miss any part of today's episode, you can always download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest. You can find it on the BFM BFM app, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts from. But don't go anywhere. Coming up at 3 p.m., I'm going to be sticking around and speaking to a traveling musician, Jeshurun Vincent, who actually very mysteriously lost part of his hearing at the age of 19. One day he just woke up and he lost his hearing, but he didn't let that get him down. And he became, he was awarded the Malaysia Book of Records Award for the most traveled Malaysian musician.
Oh, wow.
Yes, he has gone to so many countries and traveled sharing his story. So I'll be catching up with him after the 3 p.m. news. So stay tuned for that. But that's it for the Daily Digest. This has been The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.